Evening. Imagine, if you can, for a moment, the perfect Christmas. Oh yeah, your perfect Christmas. What does your perfect Christmas look like? Says just trying to do the slide there. There we go. What does a perfect Christmas look like? Just imagine for a moment, okay, what your perfect Christmas looks like. Each of us will have a different one, okay? But I'm going to tell you some of the things that you may be thinking of for a perfect Christmas. You wake up Christmas morning. It snowed. Oh, no, you see, now that's a bit of a divider because I can hear yes over here, but other people going, no, no, don't want the snow. No, let me reassure you. There is not enough snow to cover the roads and make the pavement slippery. There is just enough snow that when you open the curtains, you can't see all the winter mud. And the whole village looks kind of, oh, I don't know, Christmassy. Wonderful. If you've got young kids, you look over to the side and there's a card by your bed. And your kids have written, Dear Mummy and Daddy, recognising that you've had an extremely tough 2 weeks, we've decided to give you a lie-in this morning. Unlikely, but it's a perfect Christmas. Let's go with it, okay? So you walk to church. It's a lovely day. You're saying hello to everybody, and you get to church, and you come to sit down, and you realise that you're sitting amidst the Germans, effectively our version of the choir, yes, the Von Trapp family. You've got bass, tenor, and an alto, and then sopranos as well, all around you. It's amazing. Okay, so they're singing beautifully around you. The minister stands up to preach. It's short, 7 minutes long, and understandable, yeah. And then afterwards, you know, they're singing all the carols you love, and then afterwards you get to sit down with mince pies and everything like that and chat with everybody. It's the perfect Christmas day. You walk back home. All the food that you put on, by some strange coincidence, all comes to the boil and roast at exactly the right time. Amazing. Okay, everything's coming to the boil, and you're thinking, will our guests get here? And for the first time in history, all of your guests arrive on time, 10 minutes before the food is due to be served. It's a miracle. And they all walk in, hello, lovely, you sit down, you have a wonderful Christmas dinner. The turkey is succulent. The potatoes are crispy, just as you like them. And as they bring round the vegetables, they get to you and they go, I'm so sorry, Jez. We've run out of Brussels sprouts. I'm afraid you won't be ever able to have any. Yes! Fantastic. And then afterwards, you all sit down and you're chatting, you have a coffee and such like, and then your guests go, you've worked so hard. You've worked so hard. Look, you just sit there and enjoy yourself and we'll do the washing up. All of it. And by the way, we know exactly where everything goes in the kitchen, so you can find it later. Okay? And then come 5 o'clock, your guests go, well, you must be tired. You know, we could stick around and talk all night, but you know what? We're going to go and leave you. And you're thinking, fantastic. What a perfect Christmas day. You see, each of us would have an idea of what we think a perfect Christmas day would look like. But the sad reality is it doesn't look like that, does it? We kind of know that as soon as I started speaking, you're all chuckling as if that would ever happen, because we know that a Christmas day will never be like that. See, there is no such thing as a perfect Christmas. All of us will know times of disappointment at Christmas. It can be really hard for people at Christmas. You can look around and go, actually, the things that I really wanted to happen didn't happen. Or the people that I wanted to be here aren't here. There is no such thing as that perfect Christmas. We hold it as this kind of ideal, wishing it would be like that. But we know in our hearts it's never going to be quite like that. And the reason for that, the reason that it's not going to be a perfect Christmas, is because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where things go wrong. And, you know, quite frankly, some of the stuff that goes wrong, well, it's down to me. Not just me, obviously, you as well. But we all do things that are wrong. We're the ones that mess up that Christmas at times. We're the ones that go, I'm absolutely certain we'll be fine getting around the M25 in 5 minutes. We're the ones that mess it up for others. Because we live in an imperfect world. And actually, do you know what we've been hearing about that this evening as we do these readings? As we read through the Gospels and Matthew and Luke, and they record Jesus' birth. And do you know what? That shows us completely that we don't live in a perfect world when we hear the readings in the Gospels and what went on then. Jesus' birth wasn't perfect at all. Mary and Joseph, they live up in the north of Israel. They're going to come all the way down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She's pregnant. She's nearly ready to give birth. She does a trip the length of the country on the back of a donkey. How uncomfortable do you think that actually was? We sing lovely little stories about songs about little donkey, but think actually how terrible that must have been. They get to Bethlehem thinking, thank goodness we got here. Finally, we can get a room and just rest. And you know what? There's nothing. Nothing at all for them until some kindly innkeeper says, do you know what? I've got a stable. And of course, we all see the pictures of the stable and it looks glorious, doesn't it? It looks wonderful, that stable. Kind of stable you'd like to stay in. But you know, it wasn't like that. It was smelly. And it was horrible. And once Jesus was born, Joseph looks around and thinks, where can I lay him? And he literally scoops the animal feed out and lays him in a trough, lays him in a manger. They don't get relatives coming round and cooing over Jesus. Doesn't he have a lovely smile and things like that? No. They don't get relatives and friends like that. They get a bunch of shepherds bounding down off the hills, smelly and sweaty, diving into this stable and telling bizarre stories about angels and lights in the sky and things like that. And when they come to leave Bethlehem, do they go home? No, they go to Egypt. They actually have to go down to Egypt. Why? Because Herod, the local king, is out there trying to get Jesus killed. See, Jesus' story in the Bible, that whole account we hear in those Gospels, tells us that Jesus' birth wasn't perfect at all. We live in an imperfect world. And that prompts a really difficult question. If we live in an imperfect world, what if God could only come to a perfect world? What if God turned around and actually said, I'm only coming when you're perfect. I'm a perfect God. I made all of this. I'm coming when you're perfect. What would that mean? What if God would only come to a perfect world? It means forget all of this because it's no Christmas. There's no Christmas. No Gospels. No early church. No church like this. This all stops dead. Why? Because we'll never be perfect. Because of us. It's never going to happen. We are never going to be perfect. And if God turned around and said, I'm only coming when you are ready, when you're perfect, it will be an eternity. Because we can't do that. So let me give you some hope. Because the incredible message of Christmas is actually that God's Son chose to come to an imperfect world. Absolutely, God could have turned around and said, no, I'm going to wait till you're perfect. And instead, God's Son chooses to come down here to an imperfect world. John describes that in his Gospel. We've just had that reading. I really like John's Gospel. John doesn't really bother with the how was Jesus born, where was Jesus born, who was there when Jesus was born. He just doesn't bother with any of that. John just goes straight to why. Why was Jesus born? He describes it perfectly in his Gospel when he says, the Word, that's how he describes Jesus. He says, the Word became flesh like us, became flesh and blood and breathing like us, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that's the incredible message of Christmas, isn't it? God's Son chose to come here, chose to come to an imperfect world. But you know what? It gets even better. It gets even better because God's Son came with a purpose. He said, I'm not just coming. I'm not just going to come down and visit. I'm not on a trip just to see what's happening with the world at the moment. God's Son, Jesus, came to an imperfect world
with a purpose. He said, I've come here to do something. I've come here to achieve something. This isn't just a trip to earth to see how it's getting on. I've come because of you. See, God loves us perfectly. And so, he wants us back. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, us and God were always meant to be like that. We were always meant to be absolutely together. And because we live in our imperfect world, because we turn around to God and say, you know what? I am in charge. I rule. It's done that. And we are separated from God. But God's Son came to this imperfect world with a purpose. And he said, I'm going to bring you back. I want us like that. That's my purpose. That's what I'm here to do. Do you remember I said at the beginning? Do you remember I said, what if God could only come to a perfect world? Well, that now becomes personal, doesn't it? What if God would only come to us if we were perfect? What if it relied upon us? What if we had to make ourselves right for God like that? Do you know what? That's the thing. We cannot make ourselves perfect. It's one of the reasons why I said think about that perfect Christmas, because you know what it looks like. But we can't get there. And we can't make ourselves perfect. And the result is we are separated from God. But God's Son, he came to this imperfect world with a purpose. He said, look, I may be the perfect God. God's Son came to save imperfect people. That's me. That's you. That's everyone. So that we can be perfect in God's eyes. That is the most amazing and incredible news about Christmas, is that God turns around and says, you will never earn it. You will never deserve it. You cannot make yourself perfect. You cannot even get close. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I am going to send my Son. He will come to this imperfect world. He will live here amongst you. He'll die on a cross. Be raised again. So that when you place your trust in him, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, God looks at us and doesn't see the imperfect. God looks at us and sees us as perfect instead, because of Jesus. That's the most incredible message, the most incredible news I can tell you about Christmas. Right. Over the next few days, I promise you this. Each and every one of you in this room will do something wrong. Okay? You're going to do something wrong. You'll buy the wrong present. Okay? You'll give it to the wrong person. Done that one. You'll burn something in the kitchen. You'll say the wrong thing to the wrong person. Each and every one of us will do something wrong, because we are imperfect people. And you think, do you know what? It's not going to be a perfect Christmas after all. Look, what I want you to do is this, is that when you do something that you think, yeah, do you know what? This reminds me, we are imperfect people. I want you to remember this talk. We're not perfect. We are imperfect. But God's Son came to earth. Jesus was born. The perfect God. His Son comes here to the imperfect world, so that he can die for imperfect people like us, so that God can see us as perfect. And you know what? As far as a Christmas story goes, that is just perfect. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you came. You came to this earth. You didn't want to stay in heaven. You came here instead to this imperfect world for no more reason than the fact that you love us and you want us back. And you came and dwelt among us in flesh, walked this world, and you came with purpose to die and be raised again because you love us so much that you want us back. And so, Lord, we do pray that over this Christmas tide, we may recognize again that we are imperfect people when we do things wrong. But we may recognize that your Son Jesus came to this world that we may be made perfect through him. Amen.